Again, thanks for being here. We're going to go into the Word today. And like I said last week, I told the men that they needed to be very careful this week. No, I told the ladies last week. This week, I'm telling guys, please don't show your immaturity as I go into this passage today. You're not allowed to elbow your wife. You're not allowed to make any groans. You're not allowed to... you're not allowed even to say preach, pastor, today. You're not allowed to say, tell it. You're not allowed to say talk, sir. You're not allowed to say any of that. Most of the times, you really don't even want me to be a pastor, but today you will. Today you're going to love me. But I'm just here to teach God's word, okay? Ladies, you're not going to like me. That's why we did the offering first. we got that out of the way. If you do it online, don't try to get your money back. we're just gonna see what God has to say. We're in 1 Peter. The men last time, you had one verse, verse number 7 of 1 Peter chapter 3. And so last week, you reminded me a couple weeks ago, I said, hey, God just kind of threw men together, and so you get one verse. Ladies, I also reminded you that you were fashioned. It took a little more attention to detail with you, of which you praise the Lord and you were cheering last time. Well, that means he needs a little more verses to deal with you. So you got 6 verses. The guy got 1 and you get 6. So let's see what he has to say to you today. Put your seatbelts on. You don't get to leave in the middle of it. Not today. Security will hold you down. I am joking, because somebody's going to take that serious. I'm joking. You can get up and leave anytime you want. So let's go and see what he has to say. Don't stand up today. Last night, I had everybody stand up, and the lady, this is not a joke story. This is for real. As soon as we got to the word submissive, the lady fell. No, I'm not joking. Like we said, submissive. Boom! What in the world is going on? You can't make this stuff up. You just can't. Anyways, so let's ask Jesus to help us so that she don't fall again. Please stay with her cuteness. Is her cuteness today? She in some glasses. She going to need it today. So let's go. Father, help us now. Please lead us. Prepare our hearts. Remove the enemy and his thoughts that he'll put in our minds so that we can hear from your word. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. I'm going to read a verse, and there are 2 occasions I'm going to ask you ladies, just the ladies, to read. He jumps out in verse 1, and he goes pretty hardcore, verse 1. Let's see what he says. In the same way, remember he's been talking to government. If you're a citizen, honor the government. If you're an employee, honor your boss. So in the same way, he now says, you wives, be, and here's the words, submissive to your own husbands. Now we can hang out here. Many of you wives are more submissive to other people than you are to your husbands. You're submissive to your boss. You're submissive to people that you want something from, but to your own husbands, here we go. What's the text? So that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, even if they don't look like you want them to look, even if they're not doing all the things you want them to do, they may be won without a word. Ladies, say that with me. They may be won without a word. Now, ladies, you have influence power. You really do. The problem is, he's getting to it immediately by saying, you love to do it with your mouth. There's another way the Bible is going to teach you today. And he says, you can do it without opening your mouth. And he's going to show you how to do it. He says, I want you to be submissive. Then he says, I want you to win them over without a word. Now, my problem is, Peter, why are you talking about a woman's mouth this quickly in verse 1? That means there must be a problem with your mouth. Let me come over this side. There must be an issue with your mouth, which is why he's talking about it this early. He don't address it if there's no problem with it. Because there is a problem, he says, ladies, can you quit talking as much as you talk? There's some of you, by the way, that love to do the talking. And then there's some of you that attitudinally do the talking. Oh, you guys, you ladies slick. Come on now, he fashioned y'all. Y'all slick. Sometimes it's, I can't believe you did that again. I can't. If you would just... How can a sister follow a parked car? You ain't going nowhere. I ain't following you nowhere. And then there's another set, husbands, don't look at her. You look straight at me. Straight, right here. When she says something to you, straight. Okay, here we go. Then there's some of you, ladies, that you enjoy not saying anything with your mouth. You just do it attitudinally. Or you just start working in the kitchen. Relax, ladies, relax. That's just verse one. Verse number two. Ladies, you read this. No, go back to verse one. Watch it now. Verse one says, they may be won over, without a word, by the behavior, something you do, how you present yourself, by the behavior of their wives. Here we go now. Next verse. Ladies, your turn. As they observe... And let's personalize it. As they observe. Y'all don't even want to read it. It's so sad. It really is. Here's what he's saying. You can win them over without a word by how you carry yourself. And you carry yourself. This word is fascinating. The word respectful. The word respectful is literally the word in awe of or fearful of. You're going to win them over by your behavior, without a word, by your behavior as you are reverencing God. Because you're reverencing God, you will come under this man's leadership and not talk against him, but you will respect or honor God. And as you honor him, you'll respect your husband. Watch this now. Which means when you're not doing it, it means you're not respecting God. You got a God problem, not a man problem. We good so far? Don't say nothing. Next verse. Verse 3. He gets real nasty with it. This is just nasty, Peter. How dare you? Your adornments must not be merely... Don't merely look at your hair. You spend too much time there. Don't just worry about what you're going to wear and how you look. And you know this old school, because then he says, or putting on dresses. We don't do that no more. Because back in the day it was down here. Today it's up here. So he says, or putting on some straps. That's what he should say, some straps. Because that's all there is today, some straps. He says, don't just merely look at changing the weave or changing the, don't just do that. Next verse. Watch it. Next verse. Don't miss this. Put an asterisk beside this one. You're going to need the name of Jesus. That's why every song today was about Jesus, because you're going to need him today. But let it be the hidden person of the heart. Listen. The imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, watch this phrase, qualification, which is precious in the sight of God. In other words, not so precious in the sight of God. Not so precious. Here's what, the press of precious to God is stuff you can't see. The hidden stuff. The stuff that can't go away. It's imperishable. Implication, every time you look at yourself in the mirror, that's fading. The stuff that's not fading is the stuff on the inside, the fruit of the Spirit. The stuff on the inside that can only come through a surrendering to the Spirit of the living God. Here's what he says. Oh, he gets real good with it. He says, what I value most, and therefore the question is, do you value what God values? Because if you do, then you'll start working on the hidden stuff. The stuff that is a quiet and gentle spirit. How in the world do I get there? It is not a personality trait. So for those of you aggressive, I'm going to conquer the world, ladies. This is not, oh, that's for the meek and tender and timid little girls who really don't have no personality. No, he is saying this one you can't fabricate. You got to depend on the Spirit of the living God for this one to come out of you. He says, you want to win your husband over? Stop working on this and start working on this. Stop spending so much time and money working on a different hair every month. Stop spending so much time and money working on what the jewelry you got on and the little straps you got on, and start working on the hidden stuff. Ladies, quit wearing little straps so what your daughter sees from you is little straps, so all she cares about is the way to get a man is with the hidden strap, the little strap, and not with the stuff on the inside of your heart. Don't get mad at me. Look up, get mad at him. It gets better. That's only verse 4. We got two more. Verse number five. Then he goes old school on us. He says, for in the former times, the holy woman, that's who you want to model. The holy woman, watch this. This is going to reveal how you get to a quiet and gentle spirit. Who hoped in God. Circle that phrase. Say this phrase with me twice, ladies. Who hoped in God. Two more times. Who hoped in God. Last time. Who hoped in God. That's the key to the whole passage. The key to the entire passage, this one phrase. I'm going to make sense in a minute. Used to adorn themselves being, same phrase as verse 1, submissive to their own husbands. How did they get submissive to their own husbands? Because they weren't hoping in their husbands. They were hoping in God. Oh, it's getting better. This ain't nothing. Yeah, they get better. Watch the next verse. Verse 6. He's going to show you how to get there, ladies. He's not just going to tell you to do something without showing you how you get the power to get there. Then he says, just as Sarah, who obeyed a trifling man called Abram, who lied sometimes, who sent her into weird situations sometimes, who was less than stellar. Just as Sarah obeyed her husband, calling him, say this word with me. I just went to, last week I went to my son to the medieval times. And once you get in there, you got to use the verbiage of the medieval times. So everywhere you go, you don't address the lady. You don't just say, hey, you. No, you say, my lady. And all the ladies say to the guys, my Lord. Oh, I was walking with my shoulders back. You better believe it. My Lord, would you like some more? Yes, my lady. Yes, my lady. Oh, I'm saying yes for everything. Yes, my lady. Yes. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Look, ladies, look at your husbands now. If your husband's here, and call and just say, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. You can't even do it, do you? Stop. You can't even do it. See that right here? You can't even do it. You struggling. You can't even get Lord out. You be like, y'all are crazy. Come on. Calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right. Watch this. Without being frightened by any fear. No, go to your notes now. If you don't have a notes page, raise your hand, and our men or women will get that to you. Don't have one of these, just raise your hands, and let me. You need to go and let's fill out this this chart that I have here. He starts in verse 1 with winner over without a word. He's now going to show you how you get there. Here's how you get there. Everybody focus in, focus in, focus in. Here we go. Singles, you better focus in. Remember, singles, the reason people get divorced is because they had unrealistic expectations and they did not learn how to handle marriage. So what we're teaching you today is to have realistic expectations and then that you learn how to make it in marriage. Here you go. Here you go. Peter is telling us. He says, number one, verse 5, I want you to hope in God. How do I hope in God? Why am I hoping in God? Because I belong to God. I don't belong to me. No, listen, you don't get to win him over without a word. You don't get to quiet and gentle spirit. You don't get to submission unless you're starting with the root of you hoping in God. That's why I told you ladies and single men, I told y'all what you need to do is have a closet that you can go into and you have your little prayer stool that you can come before God and say, Jesus, I need some help. Which is why when your husband acts buck wild crazy, what you want to do is go buck wild crazy with him. So he does something stupid. He said, boy, listen, I need to tell you really right now. And then he said, whoa, 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 let me go in my closet. Then you go in my closet and say, God, everything in me want to cuss this fool out. I want to tell him that he ain't a no good bag of dirt. That's what he is. But in the name of Jesus, not my will, but thy will be done. So fill me with your Holy Ghost so I can go honor him and I can go respect him and I can go do what you have called me to do in him. And the only reason you can do that is because you know that you can go to your closet, spend some time with him, and when you get out of there, you can walk in the spirit instead of walking in the flesh. And every time you don't do it, it's because you're walking in the flesh. And every time you don't do it, it's because you're disrespecting God by not going to your closet, which implies that he's not your best friend, which is why you're not taking things to him, and which is why you're dealing with matters on your own. He's trying to help you. He's making it crystal clear. He says, whenever you can't do this, it's because you're not doing this. Whenever you're not quiet and gentle spirit, it's because you're not doing this. Whenever you're not submissive, it's because you're not doing it. Because he says, it starts with hoping in God. Then that is because you belong to him. Then he says, verse 6, now you can be fearless and have courage because your hope is not in the man, it's in God, which is now why you can be full of good deeds and you can do and love others even when they don't love you back. Reason you can do that is because your hope is not in the others, your hope is in God, which then leads you to being submissive and asking God to forgive you for what you want to say, which you did in your closet, which is why now you have the outer form of submission, which is a quiet and gentle spirit, which is how you win your husband over without a word. Preach, Pastor. Preach. That's what Peter's telling you. That's what Peter said. You got to train yourself in godliness. And older ladies, that's what you ought to be teaching younger ladies. But older ladies, you got to practice it before you can teach it. And what we have is a generation of people who what you want to do is walk on the red carpet because you're learning from Hollywood and not from the Bible. And you watch so much TV that all you want is the latest fashion and the latest cuteness and the latest this and the latest that. But you don't want to go learn how to go kneel in prayer and beg God to bring out the fruit of the Spirit in you. You go to Madison Avenue and Hollywood to figure out how to live as a godly woman instead of going to the Bible and seeing what God says about you so that you can do what God says, which he says he is precious in his sight. But you didn't even know that because you don't read the Bible. So you've been focusing on the wrong thing, which is why you end up with the man you end up in, which is why you left two of them and on your third one, though, because you still think that it's all because of how you look that's going to bring him in. And God said the way you keep him is by having been full of the Holy Ghost so that you respond to him in the way God designed you to respond to him. Preach, Pastor. Tell it, Pastor. Oh, I'm preaching. No. Did I tell you I don't need your help today? I sure don't. I'm good. Got all authority in Jesus' name for this one. So here we go. Let me show you a little bit more. Let's go a little deeper. Go a little deeper. Here we go. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to show you that every human being, I've taught you this before, but I'm going to refresh you again. Every human being wakes up trying to fill these four needs. Every human being does. Every last one of us. Every man, every woman. We're at ladies today, so let's focus in. Four needs. The need for security, acceptance, purpose, and identity. Everybody desires these four needs to be filled. There's a woman at the well that did the same thing. Let me show you what she did. The woman at the well, John chapter 4, here's what she said. She said, hey man, listen. I'm finna find me a man that's gonna meet my needs. So she's thirsty, she's empty, and so she says, listen, I'm finna find me a man. So man, where you at? She went to her first husband. I need you to make me feel good. I need you to accept me the way I am. I need you to give me some purpose. What were you doing? I need you to make me feel safe emotionally, financially, physically. And she is asking him. And as she's asking him, she is crushing herself and him because none of them can meet those needs. And when you go into marriage and you're looking for somebody else to meet needs, which is why you keep running your mouth, ladies. You ain't doing this. You ain't doing this. You're making me feel this way. Here's why. Because you don't know that where you need to run to is God and beg God to meet those basic needs first. And so what God says is what you ought to do. Singles, listen now, singles. You better get good at this. Because this is all you're going to do in marriage. You think, ooh, wait till I get married. It feels good to get rubbed on. It feels good. Okay, okay. Here's what you need. Shoot. Here's what. Hey, ooh, ooh. Anyway, here's what you need. You need to go to God in your closet. And then you say, God, how should I feel about myself? What does your word say to me, God? Can you help me out? God, can I get some security? Physical security, financial security. God, can you please help me accept who I am? Can you give me my identity? That can that come from your word, God? So that I get filled with you, God. Can you help me out, God? So that God, when I get up from my prayer closet, and now, God, when I go to deal with this fool who is my husband, I'm not starting with nothing. Because I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, because I get my security from Jesus, because I get my acceptance from God. Now when I go, listen, I have something to offer so that when he brings me gas, I'm not giving him foolishness back because I have been spending my time with Jesus, so I got something to give. What you have too many times is women going into scenarios where they're dry and desperate for the man to fill. That's why you squeeze your first husband and you went to the second one and you squeeze your second husband and you went to the third one because you're squeezing the life out of them for something they can never give you. Can I get a witness, somebody? I'm trying to help you. I promise you I am. But it starts with that. So let's move on from there now and let me show you the five needs of men. So I tell you what every human being needs is those to be filled. That's the primary needs, and God is the primary one to fill those. Then men, ladies, have these psychological needs. No, don't miss this. Ladies, every man. Ladies, read yours again. What do you say to every man? Very important. Everybody, every lady, handle. Men. What are you supposed to do every time you see your wife? Tell me what it is. Handle with care. Come on, man. Handle with care. That's why you can't talk to her crazy. Because God fashioned her. You have to handle her with men. Come on. Care. You got it. Ladies, here's yours. I don't care who he is. I don't care what he tells you. This is what you need to know. This is the truth right here. Every man, every last one. Every last man on the planet has this. All the ladies, affirmation. One more time, ladies, just ladies. Affirmation is my. Here are the five needs. I don't care who he is. Number one, affirmation and encouragement. It's the one that he breathes. He needs it. Not a little. You can't give him too much. It's oxygen. You're going to be giving him a whole bunch. And he's going to be like, anything else? Hey, honey, you did a great job today. Man, wow, how amazing. I'm just so proud of you. 2 minutes later, do you have any other thoughts on that? He's fishing, ladies. Come on, feed him some more. Feed him some more. Feed him some more. I'm just telling you, ladies. Okay, you don't believe me. Ladies, I promise you this. A man will gravitate to wherever he's affirmed. Tweet that. Let me say it again. A man's going to get affirmation. The question is, you going to give it to him? Or are you going to get it from somebody else? No, he's trying to love Jesus, so he's not a dodo. He ain't going to just step out and be a fool. He's not going to do that because he loves Jesus. But if you don't affirm him, you go to work, and somebody will be like, you know what, yesterday that presentation was so amazing. I just want to tell you, you did a great job. Thanks for being a great model for all of us. Oh, I appreciate that. You know, he's trying to be godly. I appreciate that. That's good. The next day, right by her office, you doing all right? You know what he want? What else good you got to say about me today? I'm just telling you. That don't make it godly. I'm just saying, if you withhold, I'm just telling you, that's why so many guys, if they're like coaching Little League or something, and they go coach, and if all the kids are saying, coach, you're the best, coach, you're the best, coach, he will spend his whole day with them kids trying to get him some affirmation. Tell me how good I am. Tell me how much you like my practice. Tell me how awesome I am. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Now, he ain't going to say that loud, but he feeds on it. And ladies, you want to do something with your mouth? Tell that man how good he is. Ladies, you need to say something like this. You need to say, I just need you to know, it's such a joy to follow you. You make this thing look so easy, and you make it easy for me to follow you. I promise you, he'll jump off a bridge. I promise you. You keep pumping that fool up like that, he'll be shoulders back. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I got this. I'm just telling you. Oh, yeah, here's one. I promise you, if you say this, he run right out of the building. If you say, hey, sweetie, you know what? I was going to buy this deal over here. But before I buy it, I just wanted to make sure that this is in line with your vision for our family. So I know you're always processing and leading and visionary. So I want to make sure, sweetie, that before I come out here and spend this kind of money, that this is in line with where you're taking our family up. I promise you, in the name of Jesus, I promise you, if you ever say that, that joke will be like, okay, you don't believe me? Men, I'm allowing you to say something in a minute. Hold on. Men, if you agree, just say amen. Amen. They ain't never say nothing that loud in church ever. What they want to say is, praise, Pastor, praise! Number two, come on. Men, don't say nothing. Right now, don't even open your mouth. Sexual fulfillment, they need some. Let's just tell the truth now. This is a God-given desire. God gave it to them, and they need some. Ladies, quit using it as a weapon against these men. What, man, why are you smiling at me like that? Calm down. All the brothers be like, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody say it a little louder. Stay on this one for a day. Man, I mean, ladies, it's part of what God's given every single man. Now, they're 20%. That it's not true for, that the ladies have a higher sex drive than the men. But for 80%, most men, it's true. So, ladies, your body is not yours, make it up. No, let me say, this is for the men. Let me talk about this for the men. When you get married, that's Bible. When you get married, your body's not yours, nor is his. You belong to each other. Anyways, that's a whole other sermon. Men, this is above PG now. Men, some of you are mishandling your wives in this area. And I got to talk about this. Just 30 seconds, then no, 10 seconds, then I'm done. Some of you actually are raping your wives. I can't rape her. She's my... Yes, fool. Yes, you can. Because you didn't learn to control your little self before you got married, you just think you have absolutely free access and it's a one-way deal. It's not. And you ought to love that woman enough so she desires. I'm telling her that she needs to. But be careful how you handle her. On her sign, it says, handle with care. That's all I'm gonna say. Let's come back. I gotta put that in there because some of these fools back here been watching stuff for so long they don't know how to act. And they ain't been watching the Bible. They've been watching something else. Number three. Unconditional love and acceptance. Unconditional love and acceptance. He is going to fail. He is going to mess up. He is going to not know what to do. Listen, ladies, when a man messes up, when he's not doing well, that's not the time to beat him down. That's when he needs you more than ever before. You need to bring out your little cheerleading pom-pom, and you need to come out there one day, and he said, go, hobby, go. Go, hobby, go. Go, 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 hobby, go. When he is down, he don't have no job. He has not no job for 3 months. You be like, boy, you better get out of here and get some job. You better go somewhere. Whoa. That ain't helping him. Without a word. You ever seen, cheerleaders know how to do this. You do know that, right? Cheerleaders are real good at this. You ever see when the team sucks? Kind of like the Mavericks right now. Kind of like the Mavericks. They're doing real bad. But the cheerleader's still out there. They're down by 40. Cheerleader's talking about defense, 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 defense. Now, what they really want to say is, y'all suck. Can y'all just get off of the court? But they ain't saying that. They make it in positive. Come on, boys, you can do it. Defense, defense. You know what they do? They're using their mouth to try and encourage them. Can you not make your love seem conditional, like it's only when I'm doing good that you want to be in my corner? Let's go quickly. Next one, recreational support. Go find something that he loves and go do it with him. If you love basketball, go sit out there and say, boy, man, honey, you made that three-pointer. It looks so good. It was sexy, boy. It say something. If he don't play basketball no more, he play bingo. Say, you know, when you put that B-I... Domestic support. I mean, the dude just needs you to help. I know you work, and I know he works, but he just needs you to own it. He just needs you to own it. Here's another one. I put some asterisk beside this one. He needs an attractive wife. Don't dress up for your boss and then look tore up for him. You going to work? Ready. Hot. You come home. Oh, no. You come home. Shoot. You better keep that thing on. And or if the kid's gone from the house, just take it all out. Just walk around butt naked. Talking about, hey. You would be amazed. I'm just telling you. Let's move on. We done passed PG. Let's move on. Come on, I got to go. I really do. Here we go. How to get your husband to spend more time with you. How to get your husband to spend more time with you? Let me give you these five things real quick. Number one, you need to admire him. We talked about this already. Admire him. He wants to hear from you. It's a joy. He wants to hear from you something like this. It's a joy to tell my girlfriends that I'm married to you. Every time I walk around, I tell my girlfriend, I'm just so honored that I'm married to him. I can't believe he comes home every day happy to see me. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, tell him over and over and over and over again. By the way, ladies, whenever you think you've told him enough, that's about 10%. Number two, express a positive attitude consistently. Ladies, all the head rolling, the eye popping, come on now, all of that, you get that from the world, that don't come from the Bible. Untrain yourself of that. Untrain yourself of that. Don't do it to nobody. If you don't do it to nobody, then you won't do it to him. Just you don't do that. Just train yourself not to do that. Number three, focus on the inner beauty now. He says, focus on the fruit of the Spirit. Here we go. This is what you need to do. I'm going to help you. Application for this week. No, this is you. Let's go to the lady with her fancy hair. This is you. You can't see. So you're doing your lipstick. As soon as you finish that, then you say, Lord, can you help me with self-control today? Every time you fix something on your external features, you ought to pray that God will strengthen you in your internal features. Every time you go back in the car, you're looking at the visor. Let me make sure everything is still all right. You look. Number two, right after that, hey, Jesus, I need a little help with gentleness today. Bring somebody in my life so I can be gentle. Number three, you go outside, you go in the bathroom, you're on the floor at work, you go in the bathroom, you have a little mirror, and you're looking with the little mirror on the big mirror to make sure, you know, all of this is good. Every time you do that, then you say, Lord, you know what? Send me somebody today so I can practice patience. Some of you will be like, I rebuke that thought. You know how much you're going to be praying? All day, every day. Because you look in that mirror all day, every day. Number four, don't try to control. Don't try to control him. He ain't your kid. Value his desire for sex. And then the last one is seek his opinion. I promise you, ladies, if you seek this man's opinion, hey, honey, what are your thoughts about this? He will change his voice.
Well, honey, I believe that you should, this is perhaps the right direction to go.
Because he's going to be so shocked and honored that you would ask him his opinion about something you're doing, that it bolsters his confidence. We're laughing, ladies, but it's true. You need to learn, practice that. Turn it over to silent killers. Let me show you. Here's what I mean by silent killers. By silent killers, I mean, here's how you really punch your husband in the stomach and take the wind out of him. Silent killers. Hear them. Let me give you about seven or eight of them. Number one, inattention. You don't give him any attention. You don't care about him. The only time you want him is when you want him to do something. Number two, disrespect towards him. That is, whether it is you're talking against him, you ain't no good. I would have been better being by myself. Oh, come on, man. Don't do that. And then when you get downright mean, that's why your whole family sucks. All of y'all. Come on. Get out of the gutter. Speaking negatively about him, going to your girlfriends, making your husband the butt of your jokes. Talking negatively about your husband publicly. Are you kidding me? Going on social media talking about your husband? What's wrong with y'all? Come on, man, we don't do that. You go to your prayer closet for that and say, God, change my heart. Number five, corporate mindedness. Listen. Just because you run the world at your company, when you come in, you need to realize that a shift has taken place and quit trying to run your husband like you run your employees at work. Men, don't say nothing. Nothing. Just be quiet. Ladies, I'm just telling you, I need to do that. Learn that one. You got to make the shift when you come home. Here's the next one. This is a sermon by itself. Loving your kids more than you love him. You'll sacrifice everything for them kids. When it comes to him, boy, listen. Mm-mm. Lose sleep for them. When it comes to him, I ain't losing no sleep for you. Boy, get up and go fix your own tea. minimize his desires for sexual fulfillment. Do you see what I'm saying? It kills him silently. Kill him. Don't do it, ladies. He's not going to say nothing. He's just going to step back one more time. He's just going to step back. He's going to lose hope that this can ever be what he's dreamed of. He's not going to tell you. He's just going to try and bear it. Four needs a man need. Four needs that God's given every man that he should yearn for, and that you ladies, don't talk to him about this, you pray about this. Four of them. He needs a master. He needs a mission. He needs a father. And he needs a brotherhood of people. He needs a master, that is Jesus Christ, for him to go to his own closet. He needs a mission, that is what God's called him to do on the planet. He needs a father so that he can be a son. You can never be a great father if you've never been a son. He needs a father. And then lastly, he needs a brotherhood, a community of believers, which is why, ladies and gentlemen, you see us wanting you to be in life group, which is why you see us wanting you to be disciples, which is why we did a whole two different series on the whole purpose and mission, which is why we have that whole class where we're trying to teach you to walk on purpose, which is why we're trying to teach you that everything rises and falls based on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Men, every one of you need to have those four. Ladies, you want to know what you need to be praying for your husband? Each one of those. And by the way, men, don't be telling me, yeah, I'm Bishop Jakes is the one who fathers me. You ever met Bishop? No, but I just listen to him on the radio or on the TV. That don't mean, Joel Osteen fathers me. He fathers me. Oh, yeah, you ever met? No, but you just listen. That's not fathered. That's listened to. You need a father. Go find one. Go beg God to provide one for you so that they can speak into your life and affirm and encourage you in Jesus' name. All right, let's close with this. Ladies and gentlemen, it looks like this. Then I'm done. It looks like this. What it's supposed to be like in marriage is like you have utensils that are longer than the average ones that you really, the way God set up marriage is this: it's better to give than to receive. Say that with me. It's better to, he gave you utensils, not the little tiny ones where you can feed yourselves, but what it looks like in a healthy marriage is where you get it and you, it's too long for you to feed yourself. So now it's your desire to then feed your spouse. And she can't do it, has to do the same, so she has to feed you. Because if you don't, then both of you starve. So marriage becomes, my job is to give to you everything that you need, and your job is to give to me everything that I need, so that we are both being nourished by each other, which is the way God intended it to be. Here's what hell is in a marriage. When you both are trying to feed each other and in, feed yourself, and in trying to feed yourself, you're starving because you can't get the nourishment that you need. And that happens way too often in way too many houses because we are selfishly driven. And everything we want is about how do I please myself. When God says, here's what marriage is. I want you to love your spouse more than you love yourself. And you need to begin the process of training yourself in godliness so that that becomes second nature. Father, will you help one community church, every last one of us, realize that every time we get mad, frustrated, it's a highlight of our own insecurities and our own desperate need for our relationship with you. Thank you for all the sisters. Thanks for their love for you. Thanks for their desire to serve you and to bring all of life under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I beg you, God, will you help each one of them this week to just consider, how do I hope in God? How do I become fearless and courageous in the midst of that? How do I do for others more than I want them to do for me? And then how do I become submissive, which is reflected in a quiet and gentle spirit, so that I can win my husband over without a word? Will you raise up a generation of godly women that are counterculture, so that as they're raised up, they can teach the next generation how to love, how to honor, how to respect their husbands? Thanks for the opportunity. Remind us, God. Remind every last woman in here, every last man, That when we get together in marriage, one of the chief reasons you allow us to get married is so that we can look a little more like you. So they're not the enemy. They're the tool God wants to use to get us to look more like him. We submit to your will and to your way today. Lead us, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.